If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's move on now to our dear friend Donna Adelson. What happens when the queen of a dental dynasty trades designer shoes for shower slides?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm thinking some sexy photos is what I'm thinking right there.
Oh, no.
Donna in only shower slides.
I can't get that on my head.
I'm going into AI right now, Tony, just for you.
Bravo.
Great.
And then we'll play Kylie Minogue, Can't Get You Out of My Head, to multiple images of Donna. I just can't get you out of my head, and it's all Donna and shower slides and Harvey peeking around the corner.
Ew.
In just a Speedo.
No, make it stop.
Todd, if anybody is listening to this as they're going to bed, sweet dreams. And then every once in a while, Charlie peeks around the corner. Mommy, Daddy.
Ew.
Can I have a snack? I'm thirsty. Can Mama?
Oh, God. Don't. No, I know exactly where you're headed. Don't go there.
Come
Do
here,
not.
Little Charlie. No. I got the no. chocolate syrup out. It's time for milk time. This happened just weeks before Charlie was convicted. He's been facing prison now for quite some time without mother's milk, and he's doing okay.
Can I go now?
No.
Donna
no.
Adelson is about to find out what life is like in prison. 75 years old, convicted of first degree murder. She's staring down a Florida prison sentence that offers no parole, no early release, no sympathy. But prison doesn't care how much you used to be worth. It cares if you can shut up, show up, and survive the heat, the noise, and the rules written in blood, sweat, and ramen packets. In this breakdown, we're going to be pulling apart the life and what life actually looks like for a woman like Donna, based on firsthand stories, Department of Justice reports, and the hard truth from women who've been inside. It's not a country club sentence. This is the Florida DOC. And once you're in, the only thing that matters is whether you can last. So let's break it down. And as you may be seeing right now, or you're, yeah, there we go. We got Donna. We'll run this as we kind of have our conversation here. Donna Adelson being transported. Is it playing right now? Is it just Donna not on the screen?
Yeah, okay. She's coming.
Oh, she's coming. We were waiting for Donna to get into the van.
Yep.
I just found it fascinating looking at this.
Are we looking at right now?
This is the back of the van, and here she comes.
Oh, okay, now I see it. Okay.
Here she comes, Donna Adelson.
Oh, my God, I was going to sing with you on that. That's exactly where I was going.
There she is. Can I get into the van?
So when is this from, Tony? Do you know? Is it, like, right after?
This is her being transported after the trial. So she has been sent, or she's been found guilty. This is now her, you know, going back to jail, because she's currently housed, I believe, at the Leon County Jail, waiting sentencing on October 14th. And this is, once you've convicted a narcissist, what you get. Her actions are speaking louder than words on this. There really wasn't much audio on this area. It was just kind of her getting in the van. And then it's silence. It's the ride. And you see her kind of, you know, shaking with the road as she goes and her having a moment to soak in her new reality moments after she was sentenced to life in prison.
And think of this. Now, we're watching this, so if you're listening, you can't see it. But think of this. You were just told you were guilty. Right. Mm-hmm. We saw the outburst in the courtroom, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Look at her sitting here.
She's very composed.
I would be losing my shizzle if I were just told that I was found guilty, right, of something that I think we all believe she did. And she's just kind of sitting there. She does have a few moments here, if you watch, of her kind of getting a little what looks like upset. But upset to Donna apparently is not upset to the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Look at her.
Yeah, I think I'd be inconsolable. Like, you know, snot running out of my nose, tears running down my face, you know, head in my hands. She's just sitting there. I'm. Can she look out the window? I don't know. Is there anything for her to see?
I mean, there's some light coming in. Look at this. I don't know if she's shouting up to the front or what she's doing there.
I'm innocent.
Can we stop for coffee? I'm thirsty.
Yeah, we just passed Starbucks.
I was just. That's the vibe I'm getting off of this whole thing. She's not looking at the world in any way of like accepting her responsibility. She is still looking at the world of I did the right thing. Nobody else understands me. You know, I'm persecuted, poor me. And that's how she's going to die. I don't think her brain is capable of thinking it in any other direction. Otherwise, she should have taken the off ramp a long time ago. And now the ramp is slowly going to lead directly to a cell for the rest of her life. I mean, how do you think this is going to go for her going from, I mean, she has been in jail now for quite some time, but prison life is going to be different. How do you think this is going? The psychological shock of going from, you know, the country club reception to the moment the system has decided that you're going to spend the rest of your life behind bars.
It's ugly. I bet it's just absolutely ugly for her. And she's probably trying to figure out how she can manipulate the system in prison. How can she make that system work for her?
I think she's always thinking about that in every situation in her life. I think she was thinking about how can I make this be the best thing it can be for me?
Yeah.
It's never been about what's best for someone else. And I think, you know, okay, at this point in her life, it's kind of late to change your mind and be somebody that you're not. But she is definitely, Stacey, you're right. She is thinking about how can I turn these lemons into lemonade?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when used productively is a good skill.
Yeah, right.
Well, there she is. She's sitting there talking to herself, trying to reason this out in her mind.
Do you think she's talking to somebody?
No, there's no one there to talk to. And you couldn't, because I tried to listen to the audio. You really can't hear anything she's saying. It's just kind of, she's just sitting there yabbering to herself.
I wonder if she's singing a song.
I was kind of wondering that, too. Like, what do you think,
like,
Donna?
Like, what song?
Yeah, what do you think she's... God, I wish I could read lips. I should have my girlfriend look at this because she can read lips.
Can she really?
Yeah, because she doesn't have great hearing, so she's learned how to do that.
Never gonna give you up.
Yeah, right. In the voice of Donna, though, like, never gonna give you up. Never going to let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you, Wendy. You need to fill my commissary. The prison Donna will likely call home is this. Most women serving sentences in Florida end up at the Lowell Correctional Institution. It's one of the country's largest and most troubled women's facilities. Doesn't that look like a nice place to stay? Look at that. They got their own water tower and everything. Perfect for jumping off of.
We never walk alone, it says. That's their motto.
Isn't that sweet?
You're never alone, kids.
It's weird.
Wow.
Why do you even have a statement? Why do you have a slogan on your prison? You
know? I didn't grab the picture, but there's a picture of another sign like that says, "Welcome to Lowell Correctional." And it's like, oh, That's nice. A nice welcoming thing. That's
come
awesome.
Come on in. Big old wreath. Do they have like potpourri like there ready? You know, remember like in the 80s where it'd be potpourri on top of like every toilet that's also carpeted?
Yeah.
There's a cell at
Oh, if you're not watching this on YouTube, you are missing out.
Do you think Donna is someone who...
Oh, my God.
In her home with Harvey, do you think that she still had potpourri on top of her toilet that was carpeted? And do you think she had the little carpet square underneath the toilet, too?
And the toilet seat that was carpeted? Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Why did we ever stop...
And the padded seat.
Ooh, the padded
seat. I hate the padded seat. I hate it.
Especially when you get on it and it's already warm because somebody else just used it.
And because it's so worn, it's indented with the person's ass cheeks.
Oh, you know? God.
So. Especially when they're cracked, too. And then
and it gets, like, sharp. Like,
the pleather kind of, like, you know, chopping up at your ass. Yeah.
It's funny. It's funny that we've all had experience.
We all have. Mainly at my grandma's house, you know, you get your butt sliced by the plastic, you know, walk out going, what the hell just happened to me?
I wonder if those will ever come back. Do you think they'll ever bring back?
I hope not.
And whose idea was it to let's put carpet at the one place where you're going to get pee to stain it and hit it right underneath the toilet?
Are you not hitting the bowl properly, Tony?
No, of course I'm not. No man ever does.
Listen, Stacey, let me just say this.
Come on.
It doesn't matter how well you aim. You're at a distance, so there's going to be splatter. Period.
It's going to happen.
I'll sit down. I enjoy sitting down because it gives me it's like one of the few times of the day I can just kind of like do this.
Yeah. And you can chill.
Yeah, so I do a lot of chilling in the bathroom. I do sit down sometimes, even when I don't need to sit down. I'm just like, I'm gonna take myself 5 minutes here. I'm gonna catch up on the news.
Women everywhere will thank you for sitting down so there isn't splashback. Okay. I'm just saying.
Look, splashback is an inevitable fact of life, and that's what we're just gonna have to accept. But what we don't have to accept is putting pieces of carpet remnant underneath our toilets. That seemed to be counterintuitive.
Such an 80s thing.
Well, you have a laminate floor, you know, with all the little squares and bricks like everybody had. And then, rather than just wipe up the laminate with a piece of toilet paper or something, if you're a considerate male that does that, it's far easier to just do that, you know, take a little, you know, brownie and clean it up. You'll get it done. But if it's in the carpeting, what the hell is that? Who thought that was a good? I guess it covers it up. It alleviates you having to wipe it up because you can't because it's in the carpet. It must be something a guy came up with.
Absolutely, yeah. And you probably don't even know that you did it because it's in carpet.
Exactly. So I think a guy came up with it, and women kept buying it.
They thought it was pretty, right?
Yeah, I guess that's what it was. It was the pretty, but you never saw a design on him. There was always just a solid color.
But then you get the toilet paper that matched. So if you had pink carpeting, you'd have pink toilet paper or the light blue. And let me just say this. If we do nothing else with this podcast, if we make no other difference in people's lives, I just hope that we can do away with the carpet in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a high standard for me.
If you're still putting carpet in your bathroom, seek help. There is help out there. It does get better.
I just
want you to know that once you remove the carpet from your from around your toilet seat, life will improve. It really will.
So I'm going to find a way to change the subject here. We've had a few people in the chat tell us that this was after her initial arrest, maybe not after the verdict because of the clothing she's wearing. So I'm not sure, not 100% sure about that, but thanks for the comments. Figured out.
This houses over 2,900 inmates, many in open bay dorms without air conditioning. A 2020 DOJ report found widespread SA by staff.
Oh my gosh.
And systematic failures to protect inmates.
Yikes.
The facility was described as leaving women at substantial risk. Well, Florida claims to have reformed. PREA audits continue, and the facility's reputation really has not recovered as of right now. So that's something that one has to consider when going into a facility like this. Disturbing. I don't know what kind of risk Donna Adelson is at 75 years old, but I think anybody in that sort of environment, anything is possible. But it is also a prison.
If it's SA, it's not necessarily, you know, it could be just related on hate and all that kind of stuff, too. If people feel badly enough about what she's done, that might put her, you know, front and center for something like that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I also read a story about how they had like water problems at the facility and they knew about it and never did anything. And the prisoners all were getting sick and stuff like that. So this is not a good place for someone like Donna Adelson at all.
Our prisons honestly scare the shit out of me because they're getting
worse.
And you take Donna out of the equation, take everybody out of the equation for a second. There's like so little oversight in these facilities. It's like, okay, well, we sentence people, we try them this way, we do it publicly, we go, okay, here's what's going to happen. But it's like a whole other world once you get there with, like, just you're at the mercy of who's privately running most of these facilities. They're not elected, they're not chosen, they're not, there's no maybe there's self-regulation if somebody has principles, but a lot of times you don't, and you have people that are running this stuff, you know, with some vengeance. And I know prison's not supposed to be a great place, but it also, you know, we have to maintain some basic human rights and dignity. And I feel like we're kind of getting to a place where it doesn't exist. And there's no one there to stop really inhumane treatment by some very underqualified human beings that happened to get a job there because they couldn't get a job anywhere else. And now they're looking out for other humans. And we know not everybody that goes to prison or jail is actually guilty or is violent or deserves some of the stuff they're getting. Look at the Richard Allen case in Delphi. Yeah. I mean, you tortured a man. And then that's what they got out of it. They got him to say crazy things that make little to no sense. Like he's going to kill his grandkids that don't exist. And oh yeah, then he killed the kids too. But that, you know, came right after he was eating a nice big bite of his own shit. Literally. So there's a lot to be fixed in this system. And it's easy when we see people like this to look at the circus of it and go, yeah, they had what's coming to them.
Right.
And they do. They do to a certain extent. But we can't become as animalistic as them. And that's the scary thing. We saw it in the Koberger case, too, where the cell blocks that he was in solitary, they were flooding his because they knew a way to get the water from their cells to rain down into Koberger land.
Oh, it must just be torture for him.
Good.
Yeah, I'm not. I
preach about how we need to be more good, you know, it's right. But that's the crux of it. That's the human aspect of it. And if we're going to have the, you know, okay for that person, but what about this person over here? It's, you know, emotions overtake some of these things that really emotions just shouldn't be involved in. There should just be strict standards. Here's how we're handling it. No matter who you are, where you are, why you're here, there should just be, here's what it is. And it doesn't have to be nice. It doesn't have to be great, but it also doesn't have to be continually abusive either. It is supposed to be the correction system, not let's make them even more violent and horrible when they come out system, which is what we have more than anything, because we like to poke the monkeys with sticks and anger the animals in the cages and that sort of stuff. And they're humans. They are humans. And if you want them to come out worse, keep doing that, you know?
Well, it would be great if it were some sort of a rehab where we focused on mental health and why are they there in the first place? It'd be great.
Well, it would be helpful if we focus on mental health before they ended up there too.
Right.
There's
because
that.
That would be preventative, because otherwise you're putting a Band-Aid on the problem. But yeah, I completely agree with you, Stacey. Yes, it would be great if they did. If we did it beforehand, we wouldn't have to fill these damn things up so high now.
Yeah.
Heat, noise, and no privacy. That's the other big complaint in the land of Donna Adelson behind bars, or the new prison that she's going to be heading into. You might imagine prison is quiet and isolating. In reality, it's constant noise, it's heat, it's movement. Get this one, no AC in most of the dorms. Temperatures inside routinely exceed 100 degrees in summer. Older inmates are especially vulnerable. Donna's 75. Inmates fight over floor space near fans. Sleep is disrupted nightly by shouting, toilets clanking keys, and court procedures. Lights never fully go dark. You shower in groups, leaves the toilet in public, and adjust to zero privacy. Do you think Donna is going to survive? And I'm not saying as in someone's going to take Donna out.
Yeah,
I'm saying she's going to be on suicide watch, I would
say. Yes, she is. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Those conditions sound deplorable to me. I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could do that.
I think if this is, and you got, there's no way out, there ain't no end to this inside, and you're already 75, I think I'd be looking for an out, too.
I wonder if it's going to take a toll on her health without her taking things into her own hands, that she's just going to go on this downward spiral decline, and that's it.
And just, like, naturally die?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that's very possible. Very possible.
You know, not having, you know, darkness at night, you know, not getting good sleep. She's at a point now where she needs these things. You know, the older you get, the more frail you are. She is going to be suffering physically and mentally. It's going to take a toll.
I can't imagine living like this at 43, more or less 75.
Right. God.
It would be,
And I think if you look at her, and obviously we're talking about 10 years with all this going on or more, she has not aged well.
No.
If you look at her when she was arrested, trying to scatter, you know, get out of the country and all that. Look at her now.
Yeah.
Not,
she's very different.
Very different.
Okay, honest question, and I know none of us know the answer, unless you've learned it somewhere else, but I don't believe any of us have ever been in prison. How the hell do they make the prison liquor in the toilets? And then are you not allowed? Do you just not use the toilet? What the hell do you do?
Probably use the sink.
If you're fermenting shit in your toilet, why wouldn't you make the liquor in the sink then? Easier to hide in the toilet.
Yeah, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, right?
How do you poop though?
That's what I'm asking.
So, except he was trying to do it a little bit more eloquently.
Sorry, I'm the blunt one here in this group. So, if you want something said,
how do you excrete?
How do you defecate? Okay?
How do you defecate? I don't know. I mean, or is that just part of the seven herbs and spices that end up in the wine?
I looked it up.
Okay.
You actually do it in the tank, not the actual toilet. But there's still a risk of contamination and all that kind of stuff.
You do it in the tank. Okay. Do they all have tanks? Show me that picture of the thing again. The cell. There was a toilet there.
One doesn't have a tank.
Because most public toilets and, you know, commercial toilets don't have tanks.
Right.
So what do you do if you don't have a tank? Todd's going to find the answer.
Yeah, there's no tank there. It's just the bowl.
I bet it's on the Martha Stewart website. From her time in prison. I bet she made.
Do you think she has a recipe book?
I bet she made some mulled cider in the in the toilet tank.
That sounds interesting.
I made some delicious mulled cider from.
It's a good thing.
From apples, from apple juice, from applesauce.
To be honest, if she didn't make a cookbook out of that or a lifestyle book, she should have.
Yeah.
That'd be a great cookbook, prison cooking.
I always and it's thought strictly, so.
I did a bit once on the radio where it was vending machine cuisine, and I had chefs actually come in, and they had to create gourmet dishes out of things only found in the vending machine, and the only cooking utensils they could use were what was found in the radio station's break room. So that included a coffee machine, which had a burner on it, and that was used to cook and make some interesting things. It was a fun little bit. Unfortunately, it was radio, and you couldn't see anything, and there was no social media yet, so it kind of missed the mark a little bit. But But it was interesting. Then we paired it with Jones Sodas, the Thanksgiving ones, like the turkey flavor and things like that. It was wonderful.
Wow. Well, you know, you're a creative soul. That's for you. I mean, I never, when I was on radio for, 18 years, 19 mm-hmm. years, I never had an idea like that. Not once. Not once.
There's a lot of things in vending machines. You can saute up those meat sticks pretty good, Stacey, just in case you ever need to. A coffee burner. It does work wonders if you have the heat, you know, the heating element, to use.
And I have not had my meat stick today. This is a tradition that I'm breaking today.
There you go.
I'm worried. Yeah.
We got a question, which I think is an interesting question. Who's worse, Donna or Diddy? That could be a contest. Donna or Diddy? Donna or Diddy?
It depends what you believe Diddy did or didn't do.
Right.
I think that's the question. If you believe he did a lot more than what he's convicted of, Diddy. I mean, they're both horrible. I mean, you know, there's the wake. They're both raging narcissists. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you're going like sheer numbers, who affected more people negatively and traumatically in their lifespan? Diddy would have likely done that. In terms of life and death, I think that's up in the air, because I think that you likely have some of that connected to Diddy too. Don't know how, don't know where, but I'm going to guess if truly investigated or if the evidence existed, you would find death associated or connected some way, shape or form. That's my conjecture. Okay. Obviously we know it with Donna, but who's worse? They were both tornadoes to every person in their life. And just destruction paths. Both are horrible. Yeah. Donna, of course, used to being in charge in her freedom. Now that's not going to be such a thing, as Donna Adelson is about to be facing life in prison. Her sentencing coming up on the 18th of October, and we'll bring that to you. We're taking a look now at what life will be like in prison for Donna as we see her. If you're watching us on YouTube, the prison transport as she looks down, looks around, sings some songs, and continues to wallow in her own self-delusions in prison.
I think she's in her mind right now. She's kind of holding her hands to her face right now. Yep. If you can't see it,
they're probably pulling up to the place and she's freaking out.
Could be
like, oh shit,
this is it, Donna.
She's thinking, this is just an Uber, Donna. This is just an Uber. Just think of it as an Uber.
In prison, power doesn't come from wealth. It comes from adaptability, respect, and quiet calculation. All things we know Donna's masters at.
Yeah.
She is the master class in all of those things of adaptability, respect, and quiet calculation. Quiet calculation, I guess. You could get that one. Every flavor inside has a price. Braid your hair or favor. Braid your hair, wash your clothes, write your letters. Cost you commissary items. The guests at the prison have described a hidden economy of under the stairs salons, laundry services, massages, and food bartering.
Donna under the stairs?
Won't understand that world at first. Well, I mean, it's a metaphor.
Yeah, right. But yeah. I wonder where all of this really takes place. You know, where do they give the massages?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it in a quiet corner and people are kind of watching, you know, like keep a lookout? How does that work?
Donna doesn't seem to have a lot of emotional regulation. I don't think that's going to fare well for her behind bars.
Yeah.
I mean, prison is designed to strip you of anything, of your status. And inmates, they adapt by building new social, you know, currency inside, social circles, if you will. What gang do you think Donna's going to join?
Ooh. The bitching grandmas.
I was just going to say, it's got to have the word grandma in it, whatever the name is.
Do you think it exists? Do you think there's like a grandma group in prison that is badass?
God, I hope so.
Or
I hope so. I want there to be, you know? Maybe they get together and they make like jailhouse cookies or something. Not the hooch, but cookies.
wonder how you make jelly. Like, when do you feel like you grind up ramen into flour and then wonder what do you do?
Yeah. See, you're the creative one here.
What they do is instead of making like a knife or a gun out of a bar of soap, they make knitting needles and then they make granny squares and put them together and sell them for cigarettes.
I'm going to guess Donna Adelson has never picked up a needle and thread in her
life.
You
think so? I don't know.
I don't know. She seems to be like one that, you know, everything's just been kind of handed to her. I don't know that. I don't know that there's a lot of, I don't know. She doesn't strike me as a knitter.
I don't know if she's necessarily a knitter, but
I would think that there would also be contraband. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to do the some sort of way of making that because it would all be contraband, a knitting needle or even the yarn itself.
True.
She is reportedly on suicide watch, which means solitary confinement. No sheets and no personal items and surveillance 24/7, at least at the beginning, is what she'll likely be facing because of the high profileness of the case. Guests there say suicide watch is often more traumatizing than general population. If Donna stays in her denial, her mental health, yeah, it's likely to decline. But if she accepts her reality, she may stabilize. Do you think she's adaptable? I don't
know.
No.
She's never had a grasp on reality her entire life.
No.
She
no.
just has not. Yeah. Reality is the one that she makes in her mind, whether it's true or not in real life. She's never had a sense of what reality is.
I do wonder about items and how this is all going to work, what she's going to have, what she's going to get. I have no idea what their financial situation is anymore. I'm guessing Harvey's the one that's going to be filling the canteen.
Who else would, right?
And wouldn't that make you, if you know that there are some resources there, and look, no matter what she has left, I'm sure there's something left. And probably a hell of a lot more than what most people have on the outside. That's what I'm wondering is what's going to happen on the inside with people knowing, well, you got Harvey out there that can, you know, get you what you need. And you got your weekly spending cap of $150 on commissary items. How much do you think Donna's going to be getting those items or using them to barter for her own safety or?
Oh, it's currency all the way.
Yeah.
Well, besides this, that's assuming that Harvey never ends up behind bars himself.
Right.
True.
So that could put a wrench into that whole thing for her.
Mm-hmm. I do wonder exactly where and what, how this will all work out for Donna at the end of the day. Corrections officers can't physically assist women due to liability. So if she falls, they have to wait for the medical staff.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
many boy. Older inmates end up in bed, unable to move, with no real end-of-life care because what inmates... It's basically what inmates will provide for each other. So it would be in Donna's best interests, it seems, to make some friends.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. I think that's exactly what she's doing. She's forming her posse as best as she can. Being on suicide watch, I imagine she's kind of in isolation at this point with very little things, mm-hmm. you know, around her for obvious reasons. And I'm sorry I said that word. But yeah, I think once she finally accepts reality and gets back into Gen Pop, I think she's probably forming an alliance.
I'm just not so sure. I think that this may be the first time in her life that she doesn't have the control she's always had.
I don't think she's capable of forming an alliance, you know?
She had the alliance of her family. She may have had the alliance of her quote unquote friends in life.
Yeah.
But this is really the first time where I don't know if she's going to be able to pull this off.
You don't think that she's going to prey on some weak people behind bars and make them her bitch?
I think she is a weak person behind bars.
Yeah, I think that anybody who's got to find a way to find toilet paper to wipe their ass may not be, that's going to weaken her. A lot. This is an inconvenience to her. She had the conveniences all her life of getting everything she wanted, having the money, having the family, all that. So she had the mindset to be able to create all this bullshit in her life. She doesn't have that anymore. You know, our tag was caviar to commissary. Mm-hmm. I don't think she can deal with that.
No. I mean, this is someone when you look at this, I don't think she has the mental ability to do so. I mean, and this, look at her. I mean, she's feeling sorry for herself. She's in, I guess one would probably, no matter what, if you're in that sort of situation, but that's not going to help her. Her self-pitying and her, oh, I was so wrongfully accused. And I'm sure in her mind, she thinks she's going to walk in there and she's going to tell her story and people are going to be, oh yeah, they did you wrong. They're going to look at her and laugh. Yeah. They're going to look at her and laugh at her bullshit and laugh at her self-pity. And then they're going to shank her. No. but I mean, it's not going to work. It's not, I mean, and if she's annoying as shit to people, yeah, it's not going to work out. Her stories, her bullshit, her self-aggrandizing, nobody cares. She's just another one of them. And what has Donna always wanted to be? Not one of them. She always wanted to be above and beyond everybody else. She thinks that she can bend the rules. They don't apply to her. She's a freaking narcissist. And she still plays by the rules. And just because you put a narcissist in a cage doesn't mean they stop being a narcissist. And that's the reality, I think, of what you're about to get. That's why, I mean, even with no sound, it is fascinating to watch her in this car being transported. Because it is a narcissist in a cage. And you don't get to see that very often. They get away with so much shit. And they just continue to go on with life and causing chaos to others. And you don't see them finally being forced to stop, to be removed from the population to which they tormented their entire lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how to handle it. And I don't think they can handle it, a lot of them. But I guess the question here begs, you know, do even the guilty, like her, deserve basic dignity as they deteriorate? What happens when prisons become nursing homes?
Oh, this is a tough one for me because I, being the empathic person that I am, I always feel like people deserve a certain level, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
And I agree.
God dang it. What a nasty individual. And I'm sorry, but there's also a part of me that's like, she needs to suffer a little bit.
Yeah.
Let her suffer a little bit.
Florida provides kosher meals to inmates who request them. They often include better food items like canned juices, packaged snacks, and meat substitutes. So even if you're not kosher, I think I'd be requesting the kosher meal.
Mm-hmm, you know, I would too.
If you get something better, you know, why not? So I may be sure.
That's fair. I don't think that's fair at all.
I don't think so either, but it seems to be how it works.
If you're in prison, people may hate me for this, but your religion goes out the window. You can practice however you want to practice, mm-hmm. but that shit.
Your diet is out. Yeah, I agree.
Well, that is part of the religion, though. It is part of.
I know, but I don't
your
think
diet,
it's fair.
I think the diet goes out the fucking window.
Yeah, me too.
I don't care. It's, you know, vegetarian. I don't care. I don't care. You're in prison.
Well, you have violated the rules of our civilized society.
We're going to violate the rules of your diet. You know. Ooh.
We're going to violate the rules of your colon. You're going to have meat, damn it. Exactly. Or you're not going to have meat or whatever.
I don't see anything wrong with something like it's. I mean, it's not like you're not torturing the person, telling them to eat something that they are choosing not to because of a religion, because of dietary preferences, because of whatever fucking thing in their mind that tells them they can't consume the food that is nutritious for them, that can continue to sustain their life. That's on them. Don't eat it, then don't eat it.
Well, you know, hopefully that is a deterrent for some people, you know.
That's the only reason I'm not in prison, guys. It's the only reason I haven't gone off and turned into the equalizer. I couldn't eat the fucking food.
Right. I could see that. I could
see
that
true.
In the case. Right. Yeah, exactly.
But no, I mean,
we're getting a glimpse here, aren't we?
Yeah. beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. As we
slowly back up. Yeah.
The thinning of the veil. You're seeing what's beyond the veil. So, I mean, that's interesting that you can request that sort of stuff. I mean, if you remember the Koberger case, he was requesting originally that food be made only prepared in pans that have not touched meat.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be. You know what I would do? I would
take the pan.
Oh, yes, right in front of them.
Smear a steak right in front. You know,
I would get the pan real hot and just bring it up to Koberger. Okay, no meat, but you know what? It's vegetables. Here you go. And I would like literally press the hot pan against his face. Here you go.
Well,
here
you go, Bri. You can't do that.
You can't. I know they have rules.
They do some.
You want your vegetables? Here they are. No parole. There's no appeal. There's no other plan here. No exit strategy. Florida's mandatory life sentence means exactly that.
Bye, Donna.
And even if there was, appeals take years with very, very little shot of success. And let's be honest, Donna doesn't have a lot of that left.
I was going to say, the clock is ticking here.
So, at the end here, as we observe Donna behind bars, is she on your death pool for 2025 or 2026?
No, I don't have a list this year. Typically, I do. My strategy has been
There's never been a better time.
We may have to do our Deadpool.
So, this is for 2026.
All right. You know the internet craze with the Jet 2 holiday thing? Have you guys all seen that?
No. Where
they use the commercial for Jet 2 holidays, and it's people in really bad situations, and it's talking about getting your holiday put together, your vacation. Uh-huh. All I can think of when I watch this video of Donna riding off in the paddy wagon there is the Jet 2 holiday song, the jingle. Because this would be a vacation from hell for anybody.
Yes,
I'm hearing Holiday Road.
Of course you are.
I'm hearing Lindsey Buckingham, Holiday Road.
The Go-Go's Vacation, right?
Mm.
Yes.
Could do that. Yeah. Holiday from Madonna.
Yeah.
Mm.
We could put together a Donna Adelson playlist.
Girls just want to have fun.
Yeah.
Ooh. We could just like Chad Daybell's playlist.
Bitch better have my money.
Hey, Donna, baby, I got your money. Don't you worry. Said hey. Speaking of which, I'm wondering, do we have any more letters from Chad?
Yeah. Oh my God, we were so busy this week. We didn't get to that.
There is a new letter from Chad. We'll have to touch it next week.
Promise? Do not. Okay. Yeah. We need to do that. We can't let people down. I crave these letters.
You crave these?
I crave these letters.
That's a great statement.
The gal enjoys meat sticks and Chad Daybell letters. I mean,
she craves them.
That's on her dating profile, I think.
I did not have to create one, thankfully.
Swipe right.
No, I got lucky. I didn't have to create one. I'm good.
I'm trying to see if there's anything interesting in the music section here. It looks like he gets into Christian rock, which to me is nails on a fucking chalkboard.
Yeah. I tried at one point in my life to get into that stuff because I was going to get a job at a Christian radio station.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
It's
the problem is it's all the same lyrics. It's almost as bad as country because it's always about God and belief and love. And it's like, I don't know, throw some fun in there. A little sex, little drugs.
Let's put a little just life context in some of the songs.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's like, and I'm saved and this, like, okay. I mean, I get it, but it's like the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. Yeah. I like variety. I like, this is a story of this. This is a story of that. A better variety from the 80s, 90s, and today to pick you up and make you feel good. The no repeat workday guarantee on Sunny 97. I can't do it. No offense to anybody who likes it. It's just, it ain't my jam.
Yeah.
It's just not. Then when I walk into a church, too, I get this really weird. I start shaking and I get really hot and I start sweating. And there's like, the circle with this like weird star type thing that starts coming out of my skin.
Okay. Hold up. People are going to be like, wait a minute, what's with this?
It's a pentagram, is what I'm told. I don't know why it happens, but it's alarming. But thankfully, there's Pentrelix, where all you have to do is take one of those a day. You can walk into any church, and the pentagrams won't automatically burn through your flesh.
Oh, my God.
Of course, it could give you a deadly diarrhea. But other than that, it'll get rid of the pentagrams on your palm.
Don't take Pentrelix if you're allergic to Pentrelix.
That's my favorite part of those disclaimers.
Right?
Don't take it if you're allergic to it. Well, no shit, Sherlock.
I feel like we should remove that one and let anybody take it that's allergic to it. Because it's like, well, that's natural selection right there. Well, if you know you're allergic and you're taking it. And you needed someone to tell you not to take it because you're allergic. Like, if that's it, it's like, don't put the gun at your head and pull the trigger because there might be a bullet in it. It's like, okay, just don't do that to begin with. That's not a good idea.
Don't run in traffic. I don't know.
Don't play in traffic because you might get hit by a car. Donna Adelson, her future, so bright, she got to wear shades. We'll work on our death pool for next week.
I think we should have a playlist that we put together for each of the people we cover. Yeah. And then we'll just post it occasionally on social media and people like can that. Add
no,
their
put it
songs
on Spotify,
it.
You guys.
Oh,
make
okay.
an actual Hidden
Sorry.
Killers playlist. Yeah, this is real.
Wow.
This is.
We could do that.
We could totally do that.
Can
Why
you make,
not?
Like, can you put like a graphic up for your own playlist?
Absolutely.
I think
we could
so.
Put a Donna Adelson graphic. Well, our podcast is on Spotify. So, I mean, people. Yeah. Oh, that would be interesting. We should create our own playlist.
I remember watching Ted Lasso and they put out a playlist of like the locker room music that they would, you know, listen to, wink, wink, even though, you know, it was fictional. But it was interesting because it kind of played into the series. It was like a behind the scene things. We should totally do that.
All right. Well, we got one coming up for Chad for sure. And
yes.
I think we're starting to build Donna's. So just think of the hits you're going to get to listen to at work between true crime podcasts.
See?
Get excited. This is going to be amazing. And I think it's going to wrap up this week of true crime coverage. Be sure to let us know your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube about, you know, what's the future hold for Miss Donna and all the other cases that we've been covering for you right here. For Todd, for Stacey, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.